right, part two of today's episode of Arctor Monologues. I'm Dee McClung. Previous show, I was expressing a few thoughts on Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I'm going to continue that for a while. I'm offering a critique of Donald Trump. I have offered critiques of Hillary Clinton adequately. The truth about her, or the information, data, the evidence against her is prevalent, overwhelming. The internet is loaded with it. You can find all kind of reasons why Hillary should not be the candidate for president, should not be running for president, should not be permitted to be president. The evidence is overwhelming. And even if a tenth of it's true, even if only a tenth of it is true, if only 1% of it is true, it is enough. It is enough to put an end to her campaign. I think any intelligent, rational, thinking person would have enough grounds, would have enough, at this point, enough information, enough evidence against her. Should be aware of that, at least a little bit of what's out there. It's enough to know that she's a monster, she's a psychopath, a criminal, criminally insane. Should know enough at this point to be able to make a rational, logical conclusion, calculated, logical conclusion, and say, Hillary Clinton, president, no, never, ever. At least enough information to know at this point that it would be idiotic to vote for this cunt puke ass biscuit. So, actually, I'm getting rather tired of saying nasty things about the bitch. I doubt seriously if anybody listening to this is going to change their mind because of what I say. I mean, it's just realistic. I don't think people change their minds just listening to a radio show of some guy they never heard of. Especially when there are so many celebrities or radio personalities telling them even more than what I could possibly reveal on my own show. I would advise you to do a search, do a Google. Look it up. There's plenty of reasons not to vote for that woman. And there are obvious reasons. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. It's just insane. I mean, you could just say, well, I've got, Adolf Hitler has been resurrected and he's running for president. And his name is, you know, Hillary this time. Hillary Hitler. I guess there would be a certain percentage of Americans dumb enough, stupid enough, insane enough, ridiculous enough, absurd enough to actually say, oh yeah, I'm going to vote for that guy. Of course, there are people out there in the world, of listening world, listening to my show, perhaps a few of you, that are like, oh, let's say born in the last half of the last century or the beginning of this century, you know, you're like 12, 15, 20, 30 years old, 35 years old. I know a couple of guys that are like 34, 35. They think they've got it all down pat. They think they know it all. They haven't got a clue. It's like talking about the Vietnam War of Aggression. If you were born after that war, if you were born after 1980, you weren't there. You didn't experience that. Chances are, public schools, if you're attending public schools, you're not going to learn the history of America. You're not going to learn the truth about anything. Public schools are not educational facilities. They're indoctrination centers. So if you're a young person, if you're under 20 years of age and you're listening to this, you're thinking something. I can't imagine what your limited knowledge data bank in your brain is going to tell you, and how you're going to think about things. An interesting statistic I read the other day was 69% of voting age Americans under 30, that means between 18 and 30, 69% of them would favor or want America to be a socialist country. 69%. That's just scary. 69%. That's over 2/3 of people in that age bracket are in favor of a criminal government system, a socialist system. That doesn't work. Socialism doesn't work. It's never worked, ever, ever. Any knowledge of history would tell you that. They even tried it back in colonial times, Jamestown or somewhere in Virginia, in the colonies. I can't remember exactly what. What town it was, community, in the colonies, you know, the colonial people. They tried it, didn't work very well. People starved. They had to stop that system and do away with it and go back to, you know, capitalism or free market, or let's give people an incentive to do something, because if we're just going to give them everything for nothing and they don't have to work, they won't work, and everybody will just lay around and drink, you know, lemonade in the shades. Of course, you won't have any lemonade because nobody's going to be working to collect the lemons to make the juice out of. It's an absurd notion. And why anybody would want that to be? You know, they have this kind of twisted view of reality, I think. It's some sort of delusion they're living in. Oh yeah, we love the programs. We love the socialist programs. Social Security, welfare, food stamps. All these programs. Socialist programs. Now, I'm not suggesting that we do away with them. At least not like right away. Not like just like tomorrow. We're ending this tomorrow. That would be crazy. That would create havoc. It's just, it wouldn't be a smart idea. But to continue on that vein and just continue doing that insanity with some expectation that it's going to actually work differently than it's ever worked before. Oh, it's never worked before, so let's just imagine it's going to work this time. Wow. That is the very definition of insanity. Particularly when we know it won't work. Last time, this time, or any other time. Just doesn't work. Not unless you like living in a world that's run like the New World Order and, 1984, George Orwell's little novel, nightmare novel. warning, and we just ignored it. I remember saying to myself back in 1984, hey, this is the year, 1984, this is the year Orwell said, predicted. Well, it's not that way yet. Maybe he meant 1989. Well, I hate to say it, but it's pretty much here now. Been getting here since way before 1984. I also remember another thing back when I was in college. And I said, one day, Russia will become like America, and America will become like Russia. At that time. And lo and behold, Russia has become a lot like America used to be. You know, free enterprise and so on. No socialism. And America has become Russia. And quite a bit of America has become Nazi Germany in today's word. It is scary. And in my lifetime, I just never imagined it when I was younger that the world would be like this, that it would become a fucking living nightmare. I kind of wish isn't or wasn't like this. But all we can do is keep trying. And I'm not going to give up. But the end result, the bottom line is, I might just have to figure out a way to live in a world that's gone mad. I only have a limited number of years in my life left. Not enough time to start a revolution and change the world. I'm only one guy. Need lots of people on board to do that. We don't have any leaders to lead us. Ironically, a lot of them were murdered. Yeah, murdered. So, let me think about this Donald Trump guy. What else does he want to do? What else did he say? He said, again, I paraphrase, if I'm elected, when I'm president, I'm going to make sure that all women are paid equal pay. Unless he intends to send a government agent to every business in his country, from every mom and pop store to Walmart to wherever, and all the government agencies, by the way, if he's going to make sure of that, then the only way he's going to make sure of that is if he has an agent in all of these businesses in the world, in the country, that'll report to some bureaucrat somewhere in Washington saying, hey, Martha's not getting paid the same as Bill. And they have to do some kind of legal menangling around and make sure that Mary gets paid the same as Bill. I'm thinking that's not exactly a free country if the government can force me, for example, to pay my employees any amount of money. I was in business, self-employed, general contractor, 40 years. I hired people, fired people, and I paid people. And every one of those employees came to me, can I have a job? Hiring? Need any help? Sure. What can you do? I hired inexperienced people. I was painting a house. Yeah, I need someone to help me paint a house. There's the house, there's paint, there's brushes. Show me what you can do. And they would say to me, how much does it pay? You know, actually, there were people that actually hired on or wanted to be hired by me in my business who didn't bother asking how much pay was. I find it rather odd. Can it work for you? Sure. There's a job. There, go to it. You know, payday or whatever came along. Wow, how much I get paid? Yeah, well, you worked X number of hours and you got X number of dollars. So I guess you can figure that out for yourself if you can do math. You know, divide X hours by X number of dollars. No, the other way around. You know, I'll tell you how much you get an hour. I hired men, I hired women. I hired some good people and I hired some doofuses. Some of them were women, some of them were men. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. Some of them were fired and some of them quit. Some of them just never came back to work after lunch. Can I have an advance on my pay? Go to lunch and give me something to eat. Okay, here's $20. They worked 2-3 hours. So I gave them $20, $10, whatever. They never came back. I guess they're still out to lunch. And that's been 10, 20 years ago. They actually wanted some money to buy something besides lunch, I'm thinking. And why didn't they come back? There was one guy that did come back, and he was a pretty good guy, and he worked great. And he was a dark-skinned person. I'm not going to say African-American. I'm not going to call him black, because he wasn't. He was brown. And I hired him because he asked me for a job. And he was seemed like a decent sort. I'm a fairly good judge of character. And you don't always know. I hired him. I paid him the prevailing wage at the time for my company. I paid him the same as anybody else that worked for me at that time. And a woman came by. Young woman. Could probably get away with calling her a girl. At this point, I'm old enough to call everybody younger than me boy or girl. No discrimination there. Politically correct, I'm not. She came, she asked. I said, sure. Can you paint? Yeah. Okay. Show me. How much? I'm paying these three guys this much, and I'll pay you the same. Did they work equal? Did they do equal work? Well, she climbed up a ladder with a paintbrush and started painting the side of that house. And the other guy, the brown guy climbed up the other ladder and started painting that side of the house. And the white guy over there started painting that side of the house. They got the job done. They did good. All three of them got the same amount of pay. It was pretty good pay. By standards at the time. I think it's fair to say they made more money than me. However, that's not the point. So anyway, if he's going to put an agent, government agent, in every business in the country, including my business, if I was still in business, I would find that a little awkward. And I'd probably kick his ass and tell him to get the fuck off my property or my job site. I don't think that's possible. I don't think you can do that. That's some side of law, yeah. I don't think that the government has the right to tell me how much to pay my people. And I don't think your government has the right to tell my people to come to work for me. Not my people, like in my slaves. I mean, like people that were employed by me. Figure of speech. I don't think I would tolerate that. And if somebody working for me wasn't satisfied with the pay that I was giving them, offering them, then I hired them, they could negotiate. I always did. I never had a job in my life. I didn't negotiate the pay. There were a couple of jobs where the negotiations were very short. On one occasion, the guy wanted me to work for him. He actually came to me, he solicited me. I need you to come to work for me. I need you. And he said, how much you want? I'll pay you whatever you want. Well, I'd like $2 an hour. That's way back in the early 70s. He wanted me to work for him in his restaurant as a cook. I don't think it qualified as chef, but I did chef work as well as short order cooking, and prevailing wage at that point was $1 an hour. I think it was a minimum wage, and he paid minimum wage. He asked me how much. I said $2. See, I already had a job working in a restaurant, and as I recall, I had a working in a restaurant at that time. I'd been working in an office during the day, and he said, come down in the evening and work for me, you know, part time in the evening. And I said, well, extra money, I guess I can use it. So I took on the job, $2 an hour. He said, fine, that's it. I said, cash to each of end of my shift, cash. No taxes or any of that crap. He agreed. So at the went to work. There's some details there I won't get into. It's another story involved there. But I went to work, did my shift. At the end of the day, I'd work 4, 5, 6 hours. I'd say I worked 5 hours. They gave me $10. Cash. Now, it's not cash under the table. That's just straight out business between him and me, as it should be. I did the labor. He gave me compensation for it. I asked for $2 an hour, I got $2 an hour. That's the way it should work. Equal pay. None of the other employees, none of the waiters and waitresses and car ops, there's one of those there, curb service places. And they had a nice room in the back for high class cooking and dining. Higher class of people. Not that the people that drove in their cars to get curb service were low class. I'm just saying that, you know, you get T-bone steaks, filet mignon, and lobster tails in the back room, and those were expensive. Or you could get a hamburger and a milkshake in your car, and a girl would bring it out to you. I got $2 an hour. Anybody else got $1 an hour? Out pretty good. I had another job working in an office at $2 an hour. I believe around that same time, maybe a little after that time, maybe a few months or a little after that time. I was working in an office, you know, filling out some forms, answering the phone, sweeping the floor. The boss. It was a construction company. They were building houses. And a project, not a project, but a housing development. Sam Bracken, Breckenridge, Reeseville, West Virginia. And he hired me. I had a landlord at the time who wanted to be sure that he got his rent money, so, and I didn't have a very good paying job, so he got me a job working at the guy's office for $2 an hour. Well, I got married during that time, and I was going to have a kid. She was, the wife got pregnant, intentionally. We knew what we were doing. Well, I did. And that's another story. And so I said, I can't live on $2 an hour. That's only like $80 a week. Less taxes, of course. It wasn't a cash under the table kind of job. It was everything. I kept the books. I made out the payroll. That was my job, part of my job. And I said, I can't live on $2 an hour. And he's paying, he had like 30 or 40 guys working for him, building houses. Bricklayers and carpenters and roofers and plumbers and electricians and stuff. Block layer. Most of them were alcoholics, by the way. I guess he favored them because he was an alcoholic himself. And he paid him $1 an hour. The highest paid guy was $1.25 an hour as the foreman of this crew. It was a young guy, about 22 years old or so. And about my age at the time. And I told him I had to have more money. I couldn't live on that. So I figured out my bills, my rent, and my utilities, and groceries, and gasoline, and so on. As a side note, gasoline was about 30 cents a gallon. 30, 31 cents, 32 cents a gallon at the time. I'd fill up my car. Well, actually, I'd get $5 worth of gas and drive all week with that. Drive all week, $5 worth of gas. 32 cents a gallon. I think the car I was owned at the time got about 17, 18 miles to a gallon. Big car, relatively big car, Chrysler. Very nice car. And he said no. He said, you're not even earning $2 an hour yet. I'm like, yeah, but still. Gotta earn a living. I gotta pay the bills. Dang it. I mean, my wife's pregnant, gonna have a baby. I gotta pay the doctor for that stuff. Right. Baby clothes and diapers and stuff. So I figured out I needed like $3.80 an hour just to, you know, gotta break even and get by. Well, it's almost double what he was paying me. And unfortunately, he said no. And it could be unfortunate, it could be fortunate, depending on the way you look at it. But so I started looking for another job because I had to make more money. $2 an hour after taxes is a lot less than $2 an hour. I don't forget what it was. $1.80 or so after taxes an hour. Working supposedly 40 hour a week. I didn't work 40 hours a week. I didn't have to punch a clock. I just showed up in the morning, supposedly 8 o'clock, went home at 5. Okay. We went for lunch. Had an hour for lunch. And I went for lunch. I drove all the way to home and to get lunch, and sometimes it didn't work out so great. It's another story. The wife was not too hip on cooking. Anyway. Like I said, another story. Another time. So I didn't get the $2, didn't get the raise, so I started looking for another job, and I found another job in a factory locally, and it paid $2.71, I believe, an hour. I figured, hey, it's better. Not the $3.80 I needed, but better. And so I switched jobs. Which I didn't keep long for reasons I won't get into, but through certain faults of my own, I lasted there about 3.5 weeks. The point is, when I worked at the factory, I negotiated. I went in to an interview. They were hiring, and as it turns out, they hired two people for a job. And I guess they figured, we'll hire you both and see how it works out, and then we'll pick the best one for the job. And they needed a welder, which I wasn't, and they hired a guy that was a welder. So the competition was pretty clear there. He was qualified for the job, I wasn't. I'm pretty sure, you know, you can figure out which one of us is going to get that job. So anyway, we were on trial period for like 30 days, whatever. And they put him to work on the welding because that's what his job was. He was trained or experienced in welding, and he welded. And as far as I know, he did a good job. And he deserved that job. But I didn't want to weld. I wasn't into that. I wasn't trained for it, and I had no interest in the welding. I pretty much just did general labor in the factory. Cleaning up, I sanded large metal cabinets that were used, I think, for air conditioning units and so forth. And sanded all day long. Metal savings in my nose, up my ears, in my, you know, every orifice, all over, covered with metal shavings. If I'd have walked by a magnet, I would have just stuck to it. And 271 an hour was better, and I rather enjoyed the job, but it was a factory and a lot of routine and a lot of regimentation involved. You know, got to be there at a certain time, you got to work, you take your 10-minute break at a certain time, go to lunch at a certain time, quit at a certain time. You know, it's like 7 to 4. 7 o'clock's a little early for me then and now. And, so that was a little bit of a challenge to get there on time. I was the last one in the building in the mornings, the last one to leave, and I still was fired. I'm gonna have to let you go, son. All right, you're a good worker and everything, but you gotta show up on time. It's just the rule. But I work hard, and if I came in 5 minutes late, I stayed 5 minutes after work. No, you can't do that because everybody's got to be out of here at exactly 4 o'clock. We got to close up the place because nobody wants to stay after that. Like, yeah, but they come in at 7 o'clock and have coffee break until 6:45 or 6:40. I come in at 6:55 and go straight to work. How is that fair? What the heck? I didn't come in and have coffee for 20 minutes. That's just crazy. And the quitting time is like 15 minutes to 4. Everybody, you know, head for the locker room and the bathrooms and you know, wash up their hands and stuff, and clean up and get their lunch pails and their jackets and to be, you know, standing by the clock at 4 o'clock, like 3 minutes, 5 minutes to 4, and they're standing there waiting to go home. You know, waiting for that clock to go ding, 4 o'clock, and then they'd punch out, get out there, they're gone. I wouldn't even go to wash up and get ready to leave until exactly 4 o'clock. Oh, well, you can see where there would be a problem with the other people saying, but we want to go now. And the manager saying, you're holding me up, I need to get out of here, I got to lock up at 4 o'clock and go home. And I understood that, but so I tried to start. I mean, I was just conscientious. I thought that work meant work, and you get paid for working, not for goofing off. And you don't get paid for, you know, washing your hands and pissing before you go out and punch out to go home. So anyway, as a matter of principle, I thought that was unfair of them to let me go because I was 5 minutes out of kilter with their system. But everybody else seemed to do it all right, so whatever. But anyway, the guy that was best suited for the job welding got the job, and that was great. I mean, I feel good for him that he did because he qualified for it. He deserved it, and he needed the work. I went home and decided I would find another way to earn a living, and I became a general contractor after that, and the rest is history, as they say. The point is, I negotiated with him not to be fired, and I negotiated to get the job in the first place, and tried to negotiate for better than 271, but when you're starting out in a factory at the bottom as a sweeping the floor and taking out the trash and sanding metal cabinets for 8 hours a day, you go with a starting salary and hope you get a raise. If I'd have stayed, if I'd have got to stay longer over the 30 days and got into the union, I suppose, if there was a union, I think there was, can't remember. Then I could have negotiated at the end of 30 days for a raise, I suppose. Not that I would have got it, but I could have. It's the same with the girl, the woman that came to me one day and wanted to work on my painting jobs. And I said, I pay X number of dollars. I don't remember exactly at that point what it was. I started out paying $4 an hour, $5 an hour, $6, $7, $8 an hour, $10 an hour. After 40 years, it was up to 10 or 12 for those who were experienced and capable. But I didn't hedge on that. It was like, if you work, if you do the same job as everybody else on the crew, everybody gets paid the same. I paid one guy a little bit more because he was my brother. There's a name for that. What do they call that? Familyology. I forget what the word is. You know what I mean. Nepotism? I played favorites with him because he was worth the 10. For one thing, and secondly because he needed the money. And the other guys were not complaining. So there's a case of three guys on a crew doing the same job, two of them making $8 an hour and one of them making 10. Everybody negotiated for themselves. There wasn't a union to it. There was never any union. Never did a union shop deal in my business. Wouldn't, refused to. Nobody ever actually asked me to become a union shop, and I wouldn't have done it if they'd asked me. For reasons I won't get into here, another story at another time. So anyway, negotiate. They negotiated. There was one time when the two guys that I had on the crew working for me came to work in the morning, stood outside the office and said, we're not going to work today. And I said, why? And they said, we're on strike. And I said, what? What strike? There's no strike. You work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. Anyway, they wanted a raise and they were getting less than, I believe that was back in the early days of my business, and prevailing wage from my business at that point was about $4 or $5 an hour. Now you have to understand the minimum wage is like a buck and a quarter, so they were getting pretty good money basically in a comparison to minimum wage, which I could have offered them minimum wage if they tolerated that. They wouldn't have, not after they got $4 or $5, they wouldn't. So I gave them a raise. I had work to be done, there was houses to be painted, and I needed them to do the job, and because I couldn't do it all by myself. I had lots of work. So I gave them a raise, and they went to work, and that was that. But they negotiated. They threatened a strike, they called it a strike, or a work stoppage for higher benefits, or higher wages, and that was their right to do so. And I didn't have a problem with that, except it was rather inconvenient since they were just not working when I needed them to be working. But that kind of sped up the negotiations. It's like, I need you to work today. I need you to do it now. Let's get to work. Okay, I will give you the raise. And I gave them a raise, and probably not as much as they wanted, but they settled for it. They accepted the offer. We negotiated, which is the way it should be done. And they accepted my offer, and we went to work. And that was that. And as I recall, that's the only time in 40 years that happened. Once, with these two guys. One of them was my brother-in-law at the time. Kind of amusing, now that I look back on it. All right, we're talking about the wages. So Donald Trump is going to make sure all women make equal pay men, then I just wonder how he's going to make that happen. How could you possibly make that happen without having a government agent in every business? is. If I don't have an agent looking over my shoulder, I'm going to pay whatever I damn well please, and my employees will either accept it or find a job somewhere else. And that's just called free enterprise, which is the way it's supposed to be in America. Somebody came up with a phrase, arco-capitalism. No government involved in business. Which is something I favor. All right. And so hold on just a second. I'll be right back. All right. We've managed to kill another 40 minutes. All right. We're good. All right. We spoke about Donald Trump and the prevailing equal pay for equal women, equal work, whatever. I'm not opposed to it, mind you. But I don't think the government should be forcing people to do anything. I think the non-aggression policy is the only way for government to govern. All right, I'm going to sign off and let go at that. Think about what I said. Give some thought. You're welcome to leave a comment in the comment section if you have something to say. Try to make it relevant. Oh, by the way, the name of the show is Arctur Monologues, meaning monologue. I talk, you listen, or not. So if you want to leave a comment, go for it. Just don't be argumentative. And for God's sakes, don't call me names. Because, well, just don't. It wouldn't be a good idea. All right. Till next time, have fun. Peace and joy. Later.